Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, so summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. This is the word of God for the people of God." You may be seated. Let us pray. Almighty God, be present with us, that in the preaching of your word and our reflections, your word may find its way into each of our hearts this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. McGray de Vega, who's the author of the resource we'll be using for our worship during the season of Advent that's called Awaiting the Already, Vega shares the story of taking his two daughters to a water park down in Florida. And in order to capture the memories without jeopardizing his camera phone, he purchased one of those waterproof disposable cameras with that attached rubber strap that he could wrap around his wrist. This waterproof camera was the old-fashioned film kind of camera, so it didn't have the display screen, and it meant he was not going to be able to instantly see how the pictures looked. He was going to have to take them to CVS or Walgreens or somewhere to get them developed. He was going to have to wait. Do you remember these days with our disposable camera? When his family finally got home from their vacation, he opted for the one-hour express service because he just couldn't imagine waiting any longer. We sure are not very good at waiting in our culture. My mother lives in an all-levels of care retirement community in Richmond, which provides a shuttle service. And the shuttle drivers park at the end of her street and at the end of other streets in the community just so they can be ready to respond instantly whenever one of the residents wants to go somewhere. We don't want to wait. In fact, when you walked into church this morning, you may have wondered, what are we waiting for? We're so used to the Sunday after Thanksgiving being the first Sunday of Advent. So used to walking in after we've stuffed ourselves with turkey and all the fixings to find the sanctuary transformed into a Christmas wonderland with the Christmas tree, the candles in the windows, the Advent wreath, the wreaths on the doors. But this year, because Thanksgiving happened on the very earliest day in the month that it could, we have five Thursdays in November, we have this extra week to wait. Of course, no one else around us seems to have gotten that message. The Christmas shopping frenzy has begun in earnest. This year, I even noticed at the beginning of November, a lot of stores pushing for pre-Black Friday sales. The decorations are up. Seems like as soon as the pumpkins and the ghosts of Halloween come down, the lights and the Santas go up. Christmas music echoes in our ears as we pump our cars full of gas, as we walk around in the mall. It just seems like we can't wait for Christmas. But here, we're forcing ourselves to wait. And we're getting an opportunity to celebrate an occasion that usually gets lost in the shuffle. Today it's called Christ the King Sunday. And the tradition of Christ the King Sunday was started in 1925 by Pope Pius XI as a way of combating the destructive forces of his age. So let's think about what was going on in 1925. Europe was living in the aftermath of a world war. Remember, just a few weeks ago, on November the 11th, we rang our Broadway bell 11 times at 11 a.m. to commemorate the end of World War I in 1918. Most people probably weren't aware of it in 1925, but things were already building toward another world war. The forces that led to the emergence of people like Adolf Hitler were rising, calling people to close ranks, to blame others for their struggles. By focusing on Christ as our King, Pope Pius was hoping to remind people both that God reigns even in the midst of despair and destructiveness that they had experienced in time of war, and that our ultimate allegiance is to God above all other authorities that seek to have power over our lives and the lives of others. I think Pope Pius has the right idea. Maybe we need that same kind of reminder in our lives today. Maybe we need to take a little extra time before we dive into all that Christmas tries to require of us. Maybe it would do us some good to think about what we mean when we say that Christ is our King. In the midst of all of the many powers and principalities and distractions that are trying to rule our hearts and our spirits right now. Before our focus so easily and quickly shifts to the little baby in the manger and the sweet carols about animals and shepherds and angels, we need to remember something. Christmas is not all about sweetness and joy. Christmas is about God made flesh. God coming to earth to save us. God breaking into the destructiveness of our age and saying, enough, there is another way. Our gospel lesson from John this morning is supposed to be about Jesus being on trial. But as Pilate and as many folks discover as they deal with Jesus, maybe it's really about us being on trial. Us needing to examine our faith. Us needing to decide whether Christ really is the King of our lives and of our hearts. It's kind of interesting that the word truth gets special focus in this passage. Jesus shares with Pilate that his purpose, the reason that he came into the world, was to testify to the truth. It's interesting to think about Jesus and truth in the context of our culture, where there's a lot of current discussion about what truth is. We talk about fake news and fake followers. What are the facts? It's getting where it doesn't even seem like we really want the truth. We want to listen to what supports our own particular point of view. So if Jesus says that his very purpose is to testify to the truth, what does that mean for us? For Pilate, it meant that Jesus was pushing him toward authenticity, toward being real, rather than just serving his own needs. Pilate likely considered himself the most powerful, the most in control person in Jerusalem. But as Pilate stood and faced Jesus, he realized he was in a trap. He wanted to keep his constituents happy, but he also didn't want to upset the higher authorities of Rome. In his heart, he didn't feel that Jesus had committed a crime, but if he chose to follow his heart, he would risk losing his power and control over the crowds who were calling for Jesus to be crucified. He was working really hard to get Jesus to take the blame, trying to get Jesus to say something that would justify what was happening. But Jesus was not taking the bait. Jesus was continuing to keep Pilate in that hot seat, forcing Pilate to wrestle with his own heart. What is truth is a good question for Pilate. And Jesus offers a way to answer that question when he says, "Whoever accepts the truth listens to my voice." So truth, following the truth, means seeking to heed the voice of God above all other voices. And as Jesus shows us with his life, this is not some kind of intellectual analysis of the facts. Listening to the voice of God above all others is about faithful living, about faithful witness. It's about obedience to God first, even and maybe especially above our own wants and understandings. Listening to the voice of God means looking deeply into who we are and what we have become and trying to live into what we can and what we should be. About challenging ourselves to look beyond what we think to the truth found in God as represented by Jesus. When Jesus says that his kingdom is not of this world, he's not just talking about being from some heavenly realm. He's talking about not allowing the expectations and the pressures of this world to control him. He's guided by a different kind of authority. His life is shaped by values and expectations that are much deeper than expedience or self-preservation. Jesus talks about testifying to the truth. He's talking about making sure that the truth we claim and seek to follow is serving the expectations and purpose of the God of love and not just our own needs. When McGray de Vega finally had that envelope with the developed photos in his hands, you remember what that was like? Those photos he had wait for. He found himself feeling like it was Christmas morning. He tore into that envelope like a child ripping open a Christmas gift. He'd not even paid for the pictures yet before he began to relive each ride, each memory, each thrilling occasion for laughter and joy in a way that made the past come alive again. And he found himself seeing those memories in a new giving himself a new perspective, a new sense of gratitude for his life and for his family. He was experiencing that thrill of hope that we sing about at Christmas. And he realized that we miss out on a lot in our lives when we aren't willing to wait. He described this waiting season of Advent, this season of making ourselves wait for Christmas, like being in a dark room, like this chance to allow the fullness of God's love to develop in our lives and to be revealed in glory. Maybe we can see this Christ the King Sunday as an opportunity to put our preparations for Christmas on trial. As we prepare to enter a season that has a way of trying to take over our lives and dominate our energy and our hearts. Is Christ our King? Getting ready for Christmas is a whole lot different from getting ready for Christ. One may leave us depleted. The other offers possibilities of fulfillment and of peace. So what traditions can we practice that will help us focus more on Jesus' presence than on presents and gifts? Maybe with each part of the season that we engage in the parties and the shopping and the travel, the time with family, the preparations, maybe with each part we can stop and ask a very basic question. How do I make Jesus the king of this? Think about family stress that can come at this time of year. More negotiating expectations, more battles. What if we were to say, in the midst of that, I will not participate because Jesus is my king. I do not need to win this battle because Jesus is my king. I do not need to make this person suffer or push those buttons. Jesus has also made it clear that we give to him by giving to others. What portion of what I'm investing in this season, in my energy and time and money, are truly offered as a gift for others? What am I doing to feed the hungry, to visit the sick and the imprisoned, to clothe the naked? Am I focused more on my own wants and needs, or am I looking to see the needs of others? Am I modeling generosity in the way I treat people in the midst of this season? And what am I doing to demonstrate that it is Christ who is the focus for this season? As Michael Slaughter says in his book by the same title, it's not your birthday. So much of what we do has little to do with honoring the one who's coming we celebrate. Am I spending time in prayer? Am I going to worship? Am I reading my Bible, spending time in devotion? Christ's kingship does have a way of challenging us. Who wants a king who is vulnerable? Who wants a king who, instead of fighting, says to turn the other cheek? Who wants a king who tells us more about loving our enemies than of conquering them? What kind of king hangs on the cross? But I do want a king who will help me be in healthier relationships. I do want the king who will break the cycles I get into that are leading me nowhere. I do want the king who will help me find peace. I do want the king who will lead me to joy. This season is what we make it. Will we continue to let Jesus have just little pieces and parts of it? Or are we ready to offer everything for Jesus to shape and to guide? So on this Christ the King Sunday, in this extra time we're given in the church to wait before we dive into it all, I invite you to reflect on your own life, and especially on all that lies before you during this season. How am I going to make this about Jesus? How am I going to demonstrate who really rules my life and my heart? What are the things I need to make room for? And what I need to let go of so that Jesus really can be my king? Let us pray. as much that we carry into the days that lie ahead, much that surrounds us. And we struggle at times to know direction, to know priorities, to know where we're going. And we just pray that you'll help us to remember Jesus' name.